myself keep walking on. Hear something up ahead, water falling like a song. An everlasting stream, your river carries me home. Let it flow, let it flow. All my fountains a flood for my soul, a well that never will run dry. I've rambled on my own, never believing I would find an everlasting stream. Your river carries me home. Let it flow.
Morning, church. Let's all stand up and worship God together. You guys doing good today? Surviving April with all the wind and the rain. It's a nice day today, though, right?
It's nice
snow. All right. All right, Keith, why don't you give me a little starter music back there, but some bass kick.
How you doing?
Good.
It's going to get a little dark here.
It feels like being in the gymnasium again.
I know.
Remember those days?
Remember when you had to actually see people when you worshipped?
I know.
I like it. Hi, guys.
It was like being in school every Sunday.
Oh, see, I told you it's going to get dark.
Oh, man.
Now just wait. It'll get light again.
I'm going to fall asleep. I'm thinking
don't
that.
You love technical issues? So, how is everybody today? All right. You ready to worship God? Wayne, what you got?
I had something. Not sure I do now, though.
I'm so surprised.
Okay, that's awesome.
He never has something.
Yeah, that's good. So, hey, you know, one thing just on my mind. one of the things we got to stop and think about is we have a tremendous opportunity. And that tremendous opportunity is just that we get to come here or we get to check in online. We get to do whatever and just worship God, right? And then we get to come in and we get to make plans the rest of the day and go. And I'm not sure whether everybody heard, but in in Egypt, our brothers and sisters in Christ, were attacked, and 30 of them died. 37 of them died. Were attacked by ISIS, just going to celebrate Palm Sunday, and celebrate the Lord's the beginning of Holy Week. We forget that because this is where we are, and we need to thank God that we are blessed to live in a country where He can do that. And so we also need to make sure we pray for all those who do deal with suffering and those areas. We need to raise the banner of Christ higher. So it's not to bring us down. It's just to recognize how blessed we are in Christ Jesus that we were born in this country and have freedom to worship God. And don't forget those brothers and sisters who are in this way are less fortunate than us. And today, they get to celebrate Easter in heaven with Christ. And so that's the joy in it all. All right? And so we just want to celebrate the Lord today in song and just overall in worship. And that's just what we want you to do, just to get free. Somebody just opened with prayer today as that came across on Fox News or CNN, one of those, to me. And it just put my heart just is in that right now. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. Thank you for once again for who you are. For everyone who's here and for those who are part of church online, we give you thanks. And God, let us not forget those, not only in the Old Testament and over the years, who paid the ultimate price for serving and loving you. But God, we just want to thank you that that you love us enough to have us be in a place where all around this community and this country that people are choosing to worship or not to worship, and it's not costing us anything except for time with you or without you. And so, God, right now we just ask that a special prayer for our brothers and sisters, not only in Egypt but all around the world, who suffer for the cause of Christ. And for those of us here today, help us just pour out our worship and just connect to you in an amazing way. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Sunday, this is the day when we celebrate when Jesus came into Bethlehem. They were just waving palm fronds around, just waving and saying, praise you God, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna just means save now. Save us now, Lord. We need your presence now in this church.
Praise you and thank you for everything that you have for us to be here today to worship you. And we sing Hosanna, save us. And so, God, let us just have an awesome time in you. Let us stop and focus and just have what you have for us. We all come from different places. We maybe even watching from different places. But all in all, God, we know we serve a God who brings us all together. And for that, we give you praise in Christ's name. Amen. All right, at this time, our children can head to our Shoreline Sunday School ministry. And everybody else, say hello to someone around you. All right, good morning. Good to see everybody here today, and good to be seen by the rest of our online church. We want to welcome you as well. Those of you who are on our website or also on Facebook Live, welcome to Haven Church. Okay, we have several announcements, so I'm going to go ahead and zip through a lot of these. Here we go. Are you ready? Number one, we don't want to zip through this too much, but I want to welcome visitors. Visitors, welcome. We're glad that you're here, and we hope that you have an awesome time in the Lord today. Also, hopefully you received the card. Go ahead, turn that in out here, and we will go ahead and have a small gift for you that is worth its weight in gold, okay? But we're just glad that you're here, and it's a small token of thanks for you being here. You can see the other information that is in there, but I want to jump down to Hope Rising, Hope Rising Bible Study. We will launch. It's a church-wide study. This is the book, and Debbie has the books and DVDs and other stuff. We have a lot of groups meeting on Tuesday. We have some other ones that are going to be there. You do have clipboards in the front
usually in the front section. So if you're interested, please sign up. The books are $11. If you have problems with that, please let us know. We already pay for them. We want to make sure that people can participate and don't want money to be an issue, because it's more important. Also, if you're part of online church and you would like to be part of that, please contact us at info@havencc.org, and we will go ahead and make sure that you connect as well, as we're going to have an online course as well as part of this study. It's a great study. We're going to launch it next week, Hope Rising, and hopefully you'll all be ready to participate in that. We all need hope, right? Okay, the next thing that we have in the bulletin, or you can also do it online. Everybody see this right here? It is, if you want to, we want to have lilies next week, so if you want to go ahead and leave them in memory or honor of someone, feel free to do so, and you just fill that information out, and you can pay. You can also pay online if you would like to do that, so please go ahead and get that opportunity as well. Let's see. This is Holy Week, and so we have a couple opportunities for worship this week. Friday, April 14th at 7 o'clock, we will have our annual Good Friday service. And that's one of our most special services of the year. And so we look forward to people going ahead and being here. Come as you are. If you're coming from work, just zip on in. It's okay. We're going to go ahead and celebrate. The reason why we celebrate Good Friday is because that is the day that we recognize that Christ died on the cross. And that changed everything. So we want to make sure that you go ahead and do that. You also have an insert that matches next Sunday. Next Sunday, believe it or not, is Easter. Can you believe it? It is Easter Sunday, and you have two opportunities for Easter Sunday, 8:15 and 10:15. They will be, excuse me, that's 10:15, right? I put 10 o'clock, that's a mistake in there. Cross it out and put 15, because I put that out there for you to give to somebody. If you want to go invite somebody, go ahead and do that. But if they come at 10, it'll be okay, we'll be here. So 8:15 and 10:15 next week, leaving a little bit of time for travel and parking lot and our parking lot attendants to get people in and get people out. And we hope that you'll go ahead and connect and just have a good time and celebrate the Lord's resurrection, because that's what Easter is and should be all about. So we will have those opportunities next week as well in our Easter celebration service. Also, National Day of Prayer will be the 4th, and we want you to mark your calendar. They're going to be doing some different prayers in different areas, and we will show a video either next week or the week after, probably next week, about that. So if you're interested, please go ahead and connect with Donna Wiggum and others on in a prayer group with that as well. Outreach, Monarch Ministries. This is the final week for that as well. And do they have an insert or no inserts this week? Okay, no insert this week, but you can find the information with Haven's Helping Hands if you would like to connect and help with Monarch Ministries. Okay, all right. So the Narcan training video was that we hosted this week is on the web. So that was a training that was free to the community. Also, mission trip to Haiti, we're going to go ahead and put this up on. We got a video about that, so if you watch this brief video, we'll go ahead and show you, and then we'll talk.
Alors, moi souhaite vous bienvenue et dans Gressier et bienvenue en Haïti, côté que nous, tout côté nous pour le travail et que moi-même, moi, pour me travailler avec Frère Mando et groupe Yo Cabinet, tout côté Frère Mando, même si nous sommes morts, nous descendons morts, nous n'avons pas de problème. Et nous souhaitons vous bienvenue à deux bois ouverts que nous prenons.
Hi, I'm Armando Jean-Louis and my wife Cassie. We've been serving the Praying Pelican Missions here in Haiti for 5 years.
We've built genuine partnerships with over 20 churches in Haiti.
Our heart is for churches from the States to serve with churches here in Haiti year after year to build long-term relationships.
We encourage pastors to develop sustainable ministries that will continue when the teams return home.
Hi, my name is Naomi, and I've been on 2 trips with PPM. Our church has taken 4 consecutive trips now, and it has been such a joy and privilege to work with PPM. They take care of all the details with us and allow us to really concentrate on ministry, whether it's doing construction or working with the kids. We're able just to keep our minds focused on that while they take care of all the details, whether it's transportation, lodging, or food. They set us up with churches, orphanages. We love working with PPM, and we'll definitely be back for more.
So this is the where we are, Haven's Helping Hands, and our church has decided to do a mission trip. The mission trip will be August 5th through August 11th of this year. And so it's Praying Pelican Ministries. And you guys can look and see the back. There's several different questions. It has the cost and registration fee. Anything else? Anything specific we need to touch on today, Jill? Yep. Okay. Okay. So about half a year away before it happens. And so questions will be on here. Is this online or this will be online? Okay, this is online or will be online. So if you're part of Church Online, you'd like to be part of that, by all means, connect as well. We would love to have you there. So you see we have a lot of things going on. And what a great deal to go ahead and finally have that happening. And you can definitely see it's an incredible, incredible thing. Also, Christmas in April is coming up, the April 29th. Right, and so I believe there's some signups as well. And if you're interested, you can connect also with Haven's Helping Hands and Bob Hoffman too. Yes, Bob. Okay, all right, so we'll go ahead and meet one more time. Parish Foundation next week, yes, Mike.
There's still a few opportunities.
Okay, great, I love that. A few opportunities, Easter Sunday, serving with Haven's Helping Hands.
Also, I would ask to announce that next Sunday, Easter Sunday, there's going to be a drawing for guest the number of jelly beans. There's
going to
be a prize for an adult and a child at both services.
Okay, so both services, guest number of jelly beans. There you go. And you can't cheat by eating a handful and then guessing. But for adult and child, so they'll be at both services next week. And so you'll have an opportunity to do that and receive a small gift. But again, we want to go back to Parish Foundation. There are some opportunities. By all means, if you'll definitely be moved if you go ahead and help at Parish Foundation. And also, Robin had passed this on, that tonight there is an Easter drama, Witness to the Resurrection, at Pleasantville Baptist Church in Port Deposit. It's a free admission at 6 p.m. if you would like to go be part of that. All right? Okay. Anything else that we need to touch on as far as announcements? All right. Did I do a good job and get through all of them? There we go. Okay. Now let's, thank you, Becky. Now let's go ahead and go through through our prayer requests. Here we go. Teresa Musall and Maddie Willis have asked for prayers for comfort and healing for Neil DeMatt and his family and the passing away of his aunt, Donna Young. Ross is asking for prayers for Betty Brewer. Biopsy Thursday, if all goes well, and lung cancer surgery on Tuesday, April the 18th. Jill asked for a prayer for a friend who is dealing with a challenging diagnosis, and God knows the details. And then again, we also want to keep in prayer, as we started the service, those in the churches, 2 different churches in Egypt who are attacked just simply for loving Jesus. Yes, Judy.
That's right. I'd like the church to remember my grandson, Earl.
Okay.
Prayer. He is
Okay. Okay, so pray for Earl and his family as he's dealing with some issues, a lot of issues, okay? Anyone else? Yes. Yes, definitely pray for Carol's son, Lewis, who's dealing with lots of things. Also, Jim, I heard from Jim, he received the package from the church and was very grateful, and he said thank you very much. And how much longer does he have? 3 weeks. Okay, TikTok. We're waiting for him to get back with us. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. Also, for everyone who didn't hear, Mark Whitmore, we've been praying for him. He does not have bone cancer, and so he praises God for that. And then the second part of that is that he was diagnosed with prostate cancer, so he's got another part of the journey to go through, but he said he knows that God is with him. So we want to thank the Lord for that. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, we just come to you now, and we just thank you for this day where we can come together and worship you and your name. Be with us with these many prayer requests that we have for those who are going through struggles, for those who have had illnesses, that God, you make a way and bring healing, and just testimony that you're going to be with them all the way is just what we need. So God, we want to lift up prayers, those prayers for comfort and healing for those who have lost individuals, particularly the DeMatt family. For Betty Brewer, she's going through lung cancer surgery and other types of things. For friends of ours that are dealing with some challenging diagnosis and some other things, God, you know, we know that this room and many of those who may be watching are just struggling with so many things. And so, God, we thank you for the joys that we have in life, the joys and the high points in life that so often get clouded and pressed down by the struggles. And so, at this time, God, you know our needs, you know our hearts, you know our bodies that are hurting. You know, our minds that are aching. But ultimately, God, you know that there's a part of us that just wants to connect to you. There's so many ways that Satan is trying to destroy us through doubt, through fear, through addiction, through all kinds of other things. And God, I just ask right now that you go ahead and you just speak clearly to us. Through all the fogs that everything the world gives to us, I ask that you just do something new, something powerful. Let it not just be another week of just normalcy, but that in this case, God, it would be that we could come closer to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So God, the rest of the service is dedicated to you, and as we continue through this act of worship through your tithe and our offerings, we give you thanks. But God, we just need your presence at this time. Do your thing. In Christ's name.
Broken and scattered, by mercy gathered. Good morning. I'm reading from Peter, first chapter, verses 6-7. So be truly glad. There is a wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world.
Right, we are in our fourth week of the series, God Didn't and I Can't. When you want to believe, but there's a but. As a video I once saw for church, there's a big but, okay, that we have from not getting there. All right, we are in this final week, as I said, and what we're talking about is just some obstacles that we come to when we want to believe in God, but there's this other obstacle and thing that keeps us from there. And we've given through the premise that many people reject God, and the focus that we're having is that many, many people reject a distorted view of God or a warped view of God. And we went through some of them. The first week, we talked about sugar Abba, a sugar daddy, that we have a sugar daddy God that we just say, come on, God, I need this. And he says, sure, that's what I've been waiting for, to give you everything that you want. And we said sugar daddy God does not exist at all. Week two, we talked about party pooper God. Remember party pooper God? I want to believe, but man, God, you're a party pooper. I want to have fun, and you don't let me have fun. You're a big party pooper, God. So then week three, which was last week, we talked about tingly all over. I want to know you, and I want to believe in you, but I don't feel you. I don't feel you all the time, God. Where are you? How can I believe in somebody that I don't feel? And today, we're going to talk about probably what I believe is the number one reason that I think people want to believe, but don't. And it's a perfect day considering what happened on the news. That video started with, did you see the news? Did you catch that? Is the fact that I want to believe in God, but he's so callous and heartless. I mean, how could a God allow this to happen? Several years ago, and I've told parts of the story, over 21 years of ministry, I have had an opportunity to go ahead and meet with several people in the good, the bad, the ugly of their lives. And probably about 8 years ago, 8 or 9 years ago, gosh, it might even be more than that, getting close to 10 or 11, there was a family in the church that had a strong patriarchal father who, like, not only provided employment for some people, but was also very present, and he was just the strength of the family. Matter of fact, his son-in-law was killed in a car accident by a drunk driver and was a state trooper, and that was horrific, and they had two small kids. The father became the main person and the main force in this family. And so one night we were down in the Lewis area and we were coming back. It was toward the end of the week, and I got a call that something happened with this man named Rick, and he was out eating and he was having some issues. They went ahead and they began to fly him out of BB Hospital to Christiana. However, that night there happened to be thunderstorms, so they couldn't get him there, so they began to put him in an ambulance, and I was on my way to meet them wherever they were going to go. They were going to get him to Christiana. Unfortunately, they had to pull into Milford Hospital on the way. So if you have heart disease and you're pulling into Milford, that is not good news. So I got there, had a family of three children, and and again was the stabilizing force in this family that had been rocked just the year previous. In March, they had just been rocked by, or 2 years previous, where his son-in-law was killed. And so I remember sitting in there. All the children and the whole family went to church. He was a neat guy. He would wear a big chapeau, and he'd have a big stogie in his mouth. And I used to joke and call him Hannibal from the A-Team. And so it was just a loving guy, an awesome guy. And I remember I was sitting there with the family, and all of a sudden, the doctor and the nurse came out. Now, I've been around this game long enough to know that does not look good. And so the family was sitting there, and I remember coming over to his wife, and he said, the doctor and the nurse were there, and the doctor looked at her and said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry." She said, "What?" "I'm sorry, your husband didn't make it." At that point, all hell broke loose, right? At that moment, here's a man of God who is keeping a family together, who has become the father for two grandchildren whose father was going after a drunk driver who hit him head on. How does this, just 2 years later, how does this make sense? I remember the son took off, grown man, had kids of his own, took off, and the anger and the hurt just was boiling over to the point where he cursed God and said, "I want nothing to do with a God that takes my dad away. Not only did he take my brother-in-law away, but he did this. I'm done with him." What do you do in those moments? How does this make sense for a family that if we have a loving God who is compassionate and cares, that the same family that had a father taken away, who was a police officer, had him taken away from young kids, and then the man who filled the role and was a stabilizing force to that family, taken away so senselessly, and if there wasn't thunderstorms, he could have gotten there and maybe had a chance at life. Does it make sense to you? Maybe God is heartless. Maybe that's what happened. We could even add to it more today. What is it that God does that people, if they went to church to celebrate Jesus, they end up dead? That seems heartless, God. Why do I want to believe in a God that feels that way? Over the years, I've had so many people that end up in this point. That basically say, "You know, I really want to believe, but you don't understand. I prayed and God didn't. And so I'm not." And they go through this time and time again. We look around us. We see senseless evils. What about all those who were involved in tsunamis? You ever seen the videos of those? People just hanging out on the beach, enjoying time, and people have their kids swept away from them. How does that make sense? People are going along in life, and maybe even some in this room who have been living life and trusted an individual who was supposed to be an area authority, and yet you became a victim of abuse, whether it be physical or sexual or some other kind of abuse. You know, it doesn't seem like God's really paying attention, or if he is, it seems like he's a pretty heartless sucker and pretty calloused to what's going on. So why is all this happening, God? You know, when we look at this Bible, we tend to look at the Bible and think these guys had it all together. But I just want to give you a couple of these. Here you have David. David, a man after God's own heart, who cries out to God how much he loves him. But in many ways, David cries out and says, "Where are you, God?" He loses a child. He has a child taken from him, and he's grieving. "Where are you, God?" But then he says, "I'll praise you in the storm." Let's look at Job. The story of Job. If I ask for a bit of hand, some people here would say, "Guess what? You know, my life relates a little bit more to Job than some of these other people in stained glass." You know, Job had wealth, had family, had all this kind of stuff. And just because Satan happens to be strolling through heaven one day, he says, "Hey, man, your people are a mess." And God says, "What about Job?" He says, "Well, no wonder you won't let me mess with him." God says, "All right, go for it." "Really? Really, God? I don't need anybody to mess with me." And what happens to Job? Job loses his house, he loses his wealth, he loses his business. He's got boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He sits around in dirt and sackcloth and dumps ashes on himself all day. He's got some of the jerkiest friends you would ever want to have in your life. And let's not talk about his wife. No, let's go ahead and talk about his wife. She gets to a point and she says, "Job, just curse God and die." Now you tell me they need marriage counseling. Hey, just curse God and die. Maybe he had a life insurance policy. I don't know. Who knows? This is just some of the many in Scripture. But one of the people who I look at the most, I really want to take a look at, is somebody who in seminary I learned to call J-Bap, John the Baptist. And if many don't know the story of John the Baptist was a cousin of Jesus, and he knew his whole purpose in life was to simply prepare the way for Jesus, to prepare the way for Jesus, to come before him. And when Jesus shows up, he says, "He's the one. That's the one." And when people started to follow him, wanted to follow John, he's like, no, not me, him. That's the one you need to follow. And he goes to this whole thing about not being able to tie a thong. It's on his sandals, not Jesus wasn't wearing a thong. Don't hear that. But he goes ahead and says, "I can't tie the thong on his sandals. I'm not even worthy to do that." And he goes ahead and it goes through all the stuff. And John the Baptist says, him, he's the one. Jesus is the one. And for doing this time and time again, for doing the right thing, John the Baptist is arrested. He had bad things to say about King Herod, who married his sister-in-law. And he would say it, and the sister-in-law really didn't like it. That was his wife, didn't like it. So they put John the Baptist in prison, but Herod liked him. It was kind of like a little show for him to watch. And he would love to hear him. He would even go out to hear him. He was kind of like one of those guys who would say, "Hey, you're a jerk, you're doing this wrong." And he was like, "I get a kick out of it, let's do it again." All right, so they kept him in prison, and he's there. And can't you imagine what's going on in his head? He has spent his adult life saying, "Jesus is the one. Jesus is the one. Take him, go follow him." And he's probably thinking, "My cousin is Jesus. I'll just hang out here in the prison for a little bit. And Jesus is going to come, and he's going to, all of a sudden you're going to hear like pro wrestling music. Like you're going to hear glass break, like Stone Cold Jesus, you know, he's going to come in, Stone Cold Jesus Christ, here he comes, boom, and smoke and fire shoots up and all the doors of the prisons go boom. And he says, "Come on out," and the angels are standing there rocking like this. "Woo, come on, J-Bap, let's roll." Okay, isn't that what he probably thought? I think it'd be kind of cool. Maybe he thinks he's going to inflict them with some kind of boils or hemorrhoids or something, you know, the jailers. But in the midst of this thing, what happens? Nothing. Nothing happens for a while. So he waits and he waits and he waits and he waits. He's thinking, you know, "I've seen him raise the dead. I've seen him heal the sick. I know he's who he, I think I know who he is. But wait a second. What about us? We're family. Come on, I told people to follow you. We're family." And so John the Baptist gets to a point where he begins to doubt even what he said. And how am I going to show you that? Look what it says here in Matthew 11, where he says, John was in prison and he heard that Jesus is rolling doing these deeds, but he's like, "I'm in prison." So he sent somebody to him and said, "Hey, Jesus, John wants to know, are you the one who has come, or are we supposed to wait for somebody else? Because I've been telling everybody you're the one, and I'm still sitting my butt here in this prison." And Jesus says, "Go back and tell him." Hey, you know, this may make you think God's heartless too, because Jesus goes back and goes, "Oh, tell him the blind see, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life. Go tell him that." And if I'm getting that from John the Baptist, I'm saying, "And your cousin's sitting in prison. Yoo-hoo, remind him of that one." And he goes back. And you know what? He tells him that. And he must think, "Do you even care? Where are you, Jesus? You did miracles for strangers, but not me. I mean, you're a great party buddy because you turn water into wine. That's awesome. But what about me?" Jesus had the power to rescue John the Baptist, and he didn't. Because John the Baptist didn't only lose a job. John the Baptist didn't even lose his freedom. He lost his head. He was killed. And don't you wonder that maybe that John, if I'm John, I'm saying, "Where is God?" If you've ever said or doubted, "Where are you, God?" or "God, are you there?" or "God, do you care?" you're not alone. So today, I'm not going to answer all your questions. Don't you like that when a pastor says that? I'm not going to answer all your questions in the time we have left. But I'm going to lead you and point you to the one who can answer them all one day. And that's all I got. So when you think it's not fair, I'm going to give you two things today. I know preachers are supposed to have three things, but I got two. Two things to keep in mind. Number one, God has a purpose in your pain. That sounds nice, doesn't it? God has a purpose in your pain. In other words, what I want to say here is God is still working and God is still good regardless of your situation. Have you ever had anybody let you down? Ever had anybody stab you in the back? Ever had anybody who's a complete jerk that you got to deal with? Have you ever been taken advantage of? Anybody? Have you ever had a lost relationship, whether because of divorce or betrayal or from death or some other way, and you prayed that God would restore that? Have you ever been struggling with a health concern like cancer, addiction, AIDS, all kinds of other illnesses? Have you ever had those situations? God will use these things at different times to do something in you. And I want to talk to you about Simon Peter. Because Simon Peter went through a lot of stuff. Went through a lot of things for Jesus. And in 1 Peter, chapter 1, 6 and 7, there's this interesting verse here that after he's gone through all this kind of stuff and would eventually die being crucified upside down, he says, there is a wonderful joy ahead. How many like that? How many would love if I stopped the service right there? Say, there's a wonderful joy ahead. Wonderful joy ahead. And he says this, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. How many are excited about that verse? I like the first one. I want to cut and place religion right here. Cut that first part off. Oh, there's a joy ahead. That's what I want. But you have to endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show your faith is what? Genuine, and it is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Christ Jesus is revealed. There is wonderful joy ahead, but you got to deal with some mess. But that mess will show how deep your faith is and trusting God is. You see, God is using everything in your life. God is using absolutely everything in your life. Even when you don't understand it, especially when you don't understand it, when your heart is breaking, when you are on your last bit of hope, God is using that situation. Now, God doesn't always cause the pain, but God will always use it. I was just thinking this week about several people who have been through situations that had for me good and bad outcomes. One was a lady who I talked about before. Her name was Leela. And Leela was a rough individual. As much as she was one who just, she loved life. And I came to know her after her diagnosis from ovarian cancer. And she was a sister of a friend. And she lived a wild life for a lot of years. And when I first saw her, I said some things to her, just was talking to her about loving her, and she decided to cuss at me, which was awesome, because mostly I think people cuss about me, not to me. So it was a great experience, and she was testing me, all right? She was testing me. It was an awesome experience because I laughed. I might even cuss back at her just to make her feel at home. But anyway, we talked for a while, and then we began to form a relationship. We prayed for Leela, and I noticed she would start coming in church a little bit. And so she'd come in church, and then after a while, we talked some more. And Leela, she was going through the cancer treatment. It became like she and I would meet every Friday. I would stop by, and it went from this very kind of brash and kind of angry at God that she had this ovarian cancer to a point where she actually had reached a point and where she began to open up about a lot of love. She had a son who her daughter raised because, and her son was raised in a Mennonite background, not because he chose that, and he and her had this kind of flint and steel deal. One year for Christmas, he bought her a Bible and wrote it in a card, said, "This is the only thing that can fix you because I'm done with you," all right? Loving relationship, huh? And so this was the situation. Leela, at one point, was in remission and doing well for 2 months. She would do lots of. She started just kind of getting involved in the church and stuff. And then we prayed. We kept praying, and then she ended up having a diagnosis that the cancer had come back, and this time it spread, and it was really bad. And I'd love to say that God healed her and raised her up, but God let her die and took her from this world. And she was very close to me. And as I look back, she was one of those people who was extremely close to me. And then I look back and I say, God, we prayed. We wanted. She had those 2 months, and she was healed, and we went through this whole kind of thing. And the last time we talked, she wanted to know about what heaven was about. I said, oh, no, you're going to have to let me know. We had these deep conversations. And I said, here's the thing, you're not going to. She goes, I wish I had spent time. I wish I knew. And I told her, you're not going to care when you get there. It's going to be awesome. You're not going to care. And so we spent that time. We had the funeral. And at the funeral, her son stood up in a sharing time and said, I want to say something. I'm thankful for cancer. Everybody said, what? We're waiting for this relationship. He said, this Bible I have in my hand, I gave to my mom at Christmas. And I was like, uh-oh, I didn't expect this kind of sharing. And he said, I gave it to her and told her this is the only thing that was going to take care of her because I was done with her. But he said, I got to tell you something. Cancer not only brought my mom back to me, but cancer gave me a sister in Christ. So he said, I'm thankful for it at this moment. Now, if you think I got up and had no tears, you're crazy because I have feelings. But God took that situation. I think God said, I'm going to give Leela cancer. In the sinful world, it happened to her, and God used it for her and for many other people in that moment. Another lady, a better story, Carolyn. Carolyn's a good friend of mine. Carolyn, about 8-9 years ago, was diagnosed with a form of cancer. Somebody I love dearly from down in Lewis. I went to see her in the hospital, and then I saw her also at her daughter's house in Newark, and she was dying. She looked at stomach cancer. And we prayed, and it's working. She's still alive today. And she said, you know what, Jack, though? I got a new look on life. Always a sweet lady. But I got a new look on life. See, my husband was one who was just kind of like laid back, and when he had cancer, he was like, okay, we'll see what God can do this. I was a little bit angry at first, and then I see how awesome God is. And you know what I've done? I've started with all the people who sit around there, and she said, when you go for treatment, nobody likes to talk. Nobody likes to share war stories when they're getting treatment for cancer. And she said, but you know what? I started talking to people, and I found some ladies, and I started a support group. And my support group meets every Tuesday. We had a big Christmas party, and we have parties every once in a while, and we share about what God's doing in our lives, and we share the struggles. And she goes, we have about 30 people that meet now. She said, God took that and used it for something else. You see, God doesn't always cause the pain, but God is always working to use it in your life. And that's number one, that God will use what is going on in your life. Number two, God is present in your pain. When you're hurting, God doesn't just kick back and say, have fun and enjoy it, although it may feel like it at times. God is present. Look what it says here in Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and our strength, a what? Ever-present help in times of trouble. He's with you. Remember we talked about that last week? We just had shared today by Mark. Hey, I got this next part of the journey, but I know that God is with me. We talked about that last week and how God is with us even when we don't feel him. You see, here's one of the things that we do in life. We want God to give us what we want. God, I want this. But God needs to show us that he is what we need. We want God. God, give me what I want. Give me what I want. But God needs to show us that he's what we need. And when I think about this, I think about somebody else in the Bible. I think about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul. He hated Christians. So if you aren't too keen on Christian people, you're going to really like Paul. But Paul hated Christians so much that he actually killed them. But yet, through an encounter with Christ, he did so much. He wrote most of the New Testament. He's one of the strong people of faith. He suffered so much during his life. He was shipwrecked. He was bitten by a poisonous snake. He was beaten so horrifically upon his back. He was stoned for Jesus, not recreationally. Don't say that Paul was stoned and go ahead and use that. I know. I have had a time way back when I was early in ministry where I had somebody who was drunk and stoned, came into St. John's and went in the back. He was a little disruptive, so I talked to him a little bit. And then he left church and said, "Hey, that was a great church. That was great. You were really, really funny." So I think I'm funny, but I hope it's not just because he was stoned that I was funny. But anyway, he had rocks thrown at him, and he ended up with this whole situation. Surely God would hear the Apostle Paul, the person who wrote most of the New Testament. The person who had all those situations. Surely the Apostle Paul will get healed, right? Surely him who has this, he said he had a thorn in the flesh. That is something. He said it was so bad that he pleaded three times. "Please take it away, God. Please, please, please." How many of you have ever pleaded for God to do something? "Please, God, come on, please, please." How many ever pleaded for somebody? "Oh, please." And listen to what happens. So you expect the rest of the story to go, of course, God said, "Yeah, you're one of my all-stars." Sure, boom, like that. "You, Billy Graham, you know, yeah, we got you. Yeah, we got you taken care of." But look at what he says. And God says to him, after he pleaded with it several times in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "But God said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" Anybody like that answer? I don't. "God, I need you. Please go ahead. Please go ahead. Save my kid. God, please get my kid from addiction. Oh, God, please go ahead and heal me. Heal my body. God, please save my wife from the cancer that she's got. God, please go ahead." And God says, "Oh, my grace is sufficient." And you say, "That's not what I want. That's not what I want." And God says, "But I'm giving you what you need. My grace is sufficient." So what is grace? I'm going to tell you what grace is. You can't teach it, and you can't learn it. You got to experience it. And how do you experience it? Remember, that's a joy ahead, but you got to go through the trials. Because when you're going through the trials, you experience that God's grace is sufficient. Because there's been times in my life where I've needed, "God, please give me more money." And he says, "Just trust in my grace." And when you do that, it works out. There's times where you can't do anything. You can't help your children. You feel hopeless. You've got your spouse. You've got somebody else that's dealing with a struggle. You've got friends that are headed down the wrong path, and you don't know how to handle it, and you can't handle it, and you feel powerless. And you say, "I'm going to ask for God to do this." And he says, "My grace is sufficient." And you say, "No, it's not." And then you go through it, and you find out it is. It is. I can't teach it to you. You got to experience those areas for it. It happens so much so that Paul begins to say the thorn becomes a good thing. Look at what he says here in the next verse in 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. "Therefore," this is the next, this is part of the same verse. He says, "My power is made perfect in your weakness." And he says, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am what? Strong." Now, he has pleaded with God three times to take this away. "Please, God, please." It's bothering. And if anybody knows about the Apostle Paul, he didn't beg anybody for squat. But at this point, he says, "I am now going to boast." How many people ever had those friends that boast about everything? You say, "Oh, look at what my son Billy did." And they say, "Well, Barbie, my daughter, did this." Or they, "Oh, look at this. Oh, look what we have. Look at my..." You know, anybody knows people? They boast and everything. How many know people that say, "You know, hey, I got to tell you, I'm somebody who lusts all the time. I just want to tell you that." "Yeah, you want to boast with me? I lust all the time. Oh, look, that person just walked by. I just lusted at him. Woo!" Right? How many ever said, "You know what? I got to tell you, I got all kinds of mental issues. I am all over the place. I just got to tell you, yeah, I am boasting. I have mental issues. Does that seem weird? Now everybody thinks I do. I know. Okay. Think about it. Paul says, "Because I am, God's power is made perfect in my weakness. I'm going to start not saying, 'Get rid of this thorn.' I'm going to start looking for other thorns so I can say, 'Whoa, do your thing, God.'" So that what this means for me is that I can go ahead and start to boast to you that guess what? Hey, guess what, everybody? Sometimes a lot of times I suffer with depression and anxiety. Woo! Go Jack! Because it's during those points that the joy of the Lord has to be my strength. That I can't always be happy, Jack. Maybe on the outside, but not on the inside. You know, I gotta tell you guys, there are people who've said the most vile, disgusting, and hurtful things about me. Woohoo, God! I get insulted! Yay! Anybody else wanna be insulted? I'll do it right now. I'll make you feel at home. Why? Because when people insult me and say things about me, then I know whose I really am and who I am in Christ. His grace is sufficient for what I need. And guess what? There are some difficulties I have in my life. God made me a chunky white male. And I've got this spare tire that they call love handles. Hallelujah, God. Don't matter how much I run, I ain't ever getting rid of it. Woohoo, God. I can't do math worth a squat. Yeah. But his grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. It's all I need. You know, there are moments in my life where I'm weak. There's moments in my life, I'm going to tell you this. Guess what? There are times where I doubt that God can. Did a pastor just say it? Yeah, you betcha. There are times where I doubt, God, why aren't you doing anything here? There's times where I doubt. There's times where I feel insecure. There's times where I feel guilt that I shouldn't feel guilt about. And there's all these things. But in those moments, I will now delight in those moments because God is strengthening me. You see, what happens is we take, anybody have Snapchat? Some people are like, Snap what? Okay, Snapchat. You do Snapchat, it like takes a picture in time. And if you take the video, it'll keep playing it over again. Right? And a lot of us live in Snapchat moments. And if we live in a Snapchat moment when we're going through a trial, it really, really stinks and shows it's not fair. But when you look at that moment in a span of 10 years or 20 years, you can, and you decide to walk with God during those times, you can see his hand in everything. You see God working, because the scripture tells us that he says, I work in all things for the good of those who love me. You notice he doesn't say, I work in all good things? You double check that, because we like to think, oh, isn't that awesome? God works in the good things for us. No, God works in your mess and your crap to bring everything good for you in the end. That's that joy that's waiting ahead. That's that joy that's waiting ahead. You see, many of us may not get this when we see the Snapchat moment, but God is leading us to a place. And you know what I found out? During the Snapchat moment, you don't like it. When you look back on it, you say, I don't want to experience it again. I don't want to deal with it again. I don't want to be in that place again. I want to get free from that place again. I don't want to go there. But God, you did something awesome. I wouldn't be here. I got to tell you, if I had to go back through what I went through 11, 12 years ago with the United Methodist Church and acting like I was, you know, some people treat me like I was the biggest criminal since Martin Luther to the church, all because I wanted to get my family together and I wanted to do that. If I had to go back through that again, I would probably leave ministry in that moment. If I took that moment, but God took it and did something else with it. God is doing something different. So when, here's what I want you to do. When you look back, when looking back, your thorn can actually be a good thing. So how do you believe in a God that just doesn't seem to care? We often ask the question, why do good things happen to bad people? I mean, why do bad things happen to good people, right? Why do bad things happen to good people? Now, flip it around, the question I just asked, why do good things happen to bad people? Because before we look, and you know, we'll go ahead and start to talk about the really bad people. But I got to tell you, I'm gonna give you guys a really, really bad person. Me. I'm not always good. I am a sinful preacher. Right? I am. There we go. It's not funny. This is me. Okay. All right. She's shocked. We'll let her heal. Okay. I am not a good person. There are moments in life, and there are moments in life where someone's taking a little bit longer getting across the walkway at Walmart, and I have this vision of just running them over. You're with me. That's why you're laughing. And you all, when you go to Walmart today, are going to run across the road because you're afraid somebody's thinking that. All right. I mean, there's times, and a couple of people here, I'll change. I won't even use the names. But when we were on vacation, and I was like, God, can't you give me another story? He said, Nope, you're gonna share it. So here I go. We were on vacation, and I had the two older kids with me, and we were in a place, and we were in another country. And Wayne may know the story. We were in another country, and Abigail's laughing because she knows. And so we're in this place, and it was like it had a lot of entertainment going on. It had like people in the silks, and they're going ahead, they're hanging from the ceiling. And I'm like right under there. They have security people here because the place was packed. And so we're sitting there, and she's laughing already. There was like a table that was here like this, okay? And Jack, you know Jack, me, I'm talking in this like the third, but you know Jack. I'm standing by this table, and there's, like, no room like this. And all of a sudden, I'm standing here, and I'm looking. It's, like, right here. And all of a sudden, I get this punch and an elbow in my back. Like I was one of those bags, and boom, boom, or, like, the meat and Rocky. Boom, 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 you know, like that. And I turn around. Now, meanwhile, if it's Jack, I'm calmer, but I got my daughter and my son and friends there. So Jack tends to get his ire up a little bit more and decides not to be as pastoral. And I turn around, and I said, it was this guy from Scotland who elbowed me and punched me. I guess he thought he was like in some old movie or something, or Braveheart. I don't know. But he's doing this to me, and he's looking, and like literally there was no room at this table. And now I am standing underneath where the people were doing the entertainment silk thing. All right. In the middle. If she fell, I'm squashed. Okay. So I turn around to him and I said, and he's like, and I said, don't shove me again. And he goes, what? And he said something Scottish. And I said, I will knock you out. Did I not? I said, I will knock you out right now. And so here I am. I am on vacation as a pastor ready to knock someone out. And I thought it was very biblical because, you know, something about Samson and the jawbone of an ass. I don't know. But anyway, I was wrapping it in. And see what we do? We try to justify it. And at that moment, so if the person's watching maybe online, sorry. But it didn't come to that because a guy tapped me on the back and said, hey, come here with security. And I thought that I'm going to spend the night in a Mexican prison, which wasn't a good idea. But it didn't happen. But anyway, it all worked out. And we got better seats. All right. At that moment, clapping. Okay. All right. So this, I don't know if it was the first time that the pastor told you he was going to assault someone. But anyway, I'm not good. I'm not. There's a lot of not good in me. Just because I have that master's divinity does not make me divine. It just means I got more initials. What I'm saying here is I'm bad. I get it wrong a lot. I have road rage that you can't imagine. Week two, we talked about that all of us are sinners. Yet we live lives that are so blessed. You say, wait a second, Jack, struggles. I'm minimizing your struggles, but what I am going to say is if you got up this morning and you're here, it's because you got breath that God gave you, and you've got health that God gave you to get here. If you drove a car, then you are wealthier to get here than you are wealthier than most of the world. You are surrounded by people who care and love you. If your toilet flushed, we take it for granted, but you are so much better off than most of the world. Is God always fair? Nope. God is not fair. But God is always just. And I'm glad. We better be glad God is not fair, because if God was fair, I would pay for what my sins are. I might knock some Scottish dude out, but God's going to knock me out as well because of my sin and my anger and my frustration. We should get what our sins deserve. But guess what? God is just because he sent his son Jesus to pay that price for you and me. That's not fair. You know what's not fair? It's not fair that my sin nailed Jesus to a cross. It's not fair that he suffered, bled, and died for me. It's not fair for him. Look at what it says here in Psalm 103. Psalm 103 says this. God does not treat us as our sin deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from our sin. We need to thank God for not being fair but being just. And the next time when we begin to focus on other stuff and we look at all this crazy world, is it, you know what? We have this blessing. We're blessed because we came into a church today and nobody came in and blew it up. Don't look at the stuff around you from your perspective. Look at it from the perspective of your Heavenly Father, who loves you and me, who hurts with us, who has a purpose in our pain, but he's always present right there with us in the midst of that. Two quick stories that I want to share with you about this. One of those is about All You Have Is Jesus. Many of you know that Rachel has and has suffered with headaches. Some of you don't know. She's my middle daughter, I think. Yeah, she's my middle daughter. And I still remember the first time taking her to the hospital when she couldn't express, like, things that she knew. And how painful that is. That here Melissa is a nurse. Here I am. I've been around hospitals and people, and I serve God. And you are helpless to help your child. And guess what? The medical staff and everybody's awesome, but until she started to get back to Rachel, and you think at that moment that you are completely losing who she is, you realize that God's grace has to be sufficient. It has to be all you need. She struggled with those up and down, getting to a point where they're better. Helplessness tells you that God's grace is enough. The other story I want to talk about, I haven't thought about in a while, but when Jacob was little, about 2 years old or so, he was hyper like Judah, all right, and like me. And he was in the bathtub, and it was one of the old porcelain tubs, all right? And so he's up there on the tub, and we're saying, Jacob, don't do that. And he's going, you know, a little naked butt, like that, okay? And when he did it one time, he went, and his hands went out from under him, and he went right on the side, right on underneath his chin. And it just, and he's screaming, okay? And we're like, oh, what do we do? So my father-in-law came over, and Melissa and I rushed him to the hospital and took him there, and he is just crying and screaming and crying and screaming. And, you know, you don't know what's going on? You don't know whether he's like broken everything here. You know, you check his teeth, but he's screaming. And you don't know. And so it came to the point where they came in and they had to put the stitches in. How many was it? You remember? A lot. Nine stitches. All right. So it comes to that point where you have to put those stitches in. And they ask that you hold their head. Anybody ever been part of this, parents? Where you're holding on to their head and they're screaming and they're just like, I want to go. I just want to go. You know, scream. They don't know why you're holding them. And they're just wondering, why is my dad holding my head or my mom holding me there? Why I'm just screaming, I want to go home. I just want to get out of here. I want to do that. And you don't understand that pain at that time, do you? And as a parent, you hate everything that you have to do to bring that pain. But in the midst of it, there is healing. Because if we look back some 10, 15 years, he healed up. Because of us holding him still there. And sometimes the suffering and trials you're going through is God just holding on to you and saying, I'm bringing healing, but you got to trust that my grace is sufficient. He's an awesome God. He's a loving daddy. He is not absent. He is not heartless, but is very, very present. God knows your hurt. God knows your hurt so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on a cross in your place. He's not heartless. He's not callous. He loves you. Amen? Our worship team's going to come up. Lord God, let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the fact that we've gone through some areas in this series where we want to believe and we've asked you to do some things and you didn't. And so we've had problems in our lives that we say we can't. We've looked at sugar daddy God. I've asked God to do this and he didn't give me anything. I've asked and I've asked and I've asked, and God, you've done nothing in the midst of that situation. Nothing at all. You know, God, I haven't felt you. I think you're a party pooper. I want to have fun. I'm only on this earth for a statistically 80 years or so, maybe more, maybe 100. And so, God, what I need right now is for you to stop being so heartless. I mean, come on, God. Ethiopian Christians went and worshiped, and now they're dead. Do you care? But God, help us look at you from a different perspective. That we face these trials and we hold on to what the Apostle Peter said, that joy is coming through these trials. And that we will learn as the Apostle Paul, where we have the thorns in our flesh and we're saying, God, please, please remove it. That he says, hey, my grace is what you need. So God, let us boast in our weakness. Some of us in this room right now, and in the sound of my voice, right now, you hear God calling you. You're not quite sure it's God, but you hear yourself calling God. You've prayed and you've talked to people and said, I don't want to end up in this part in my life. I don't want to end up in this cycle. And yet you find yourself right back in the same thing. Right back in the same old, same old. And God's here telling you this. I'm going to hold you down. So the trial you're going through, I'm going to hold you down. I'm going to hold your head still. And I want you to know that this is going to bring healing for your life. My grace is sufficient. My grace is what you need, but you got to experience it. I can't teach it to you. So God, for people here today who have maybe doubted that you're a loving God, who may have doubted that you even care, if that's you at home or whatever you're doing, if you say, God, I've doubted, but I want the assurance that you're always with me. And I'm going to lean on that. Even though I don't feel you, even though sometimes the prayers that are answered are no and I don't like it, I'm going to trust you that you're with me. If that's you, just go ahead and say, God, I'm going to trust you. Just raise your hand where you are right now. Just trust me. So God, for some other people here today or for those watching, that they just may be sitting here and don't know why they're here and don't know why they're watching. But God, you're speaking to them right now. You're saying, hey, I want you to hear something. I'm not fair. God wants to tell you, I'm not fair, but I'm just. And I don't want you to pay for all the bad stuff in life. I want you to be free. And those who are in Jesus are free indeed, because he took your penalty upon the cross. He bled and died, but rose again. Victory, power, might for you. And if you just need to receive him, go ahead and just, where you are, raise your hand. There you go. Thank you, Jesus. So all the church together, I just want you, even if you're a church online at home, I want you to just pray with me. Heavenly Father, go ahead, out loud. Heavenly Father, I love you. I've missed it, and I'm not good. But you're just. And I believe that you sent your son to pay the price for me. And so God, take my mess. Take my trials and bring that joy, because I'm going to trust you. Take my life. Do with it what you will. If I'm in the wrong place, use whatever you have to do to get me to the right place. And I will serve you with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind. In Jesus' name. The altar is open for you if you want to pray.
Blood of Jesus Christ.
Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Perfect song for the sermon, and I don't share the sermon notes with Wayne before. It's awesome how God works with that. And also, just for this week, remember that without the crucifixion, there is no resurrection. So that's why Friday night, we're going to go ahead and celebrate Christ's death, which led to his resurrection. Okay, we're going to also start next week our Hope Rising, week one of Hope Rising. Debbie does, she's going to go out there first. She's going to go ahead and she has the books and materials. So if you have signed up or would like to sign up, please see her. After that, again, you can also reach, let us know online if you'd like to be part of it. But most of all, get ready. Get ready. I'm not worried about your Sunday best next week. As close, I'm worried about your Sunday best of worship for God. So let's go ahead and worship him two times next week, 8:15, 10:15, and don't forget Good Friday. God bless. Have a great week in Jesus.